Merry Christmas. I haven't been saying Merry Christmas very much, so let me just say Merry Christmas one more time. It's going to come up fast, you know, and we can feel it. And I just as a point of confession, I just have to say that I do get caught up in the sinfulness of this season. Our tweens and youth are going to sing about, you know, keeping Christ in Christmas, and that's what we plan to do here at church. But I do like getting gifts. Don't buy me a gift. I'm not asking for a gift. I get plenty of gifts. But I do want to say this to you. There's a lot of sin around Christmas. But it's not a sin to celebrate. It is not a sin to celebrate. No matter what your circumstances, we see Mary do that today. And you need to find your way, and I'm sure you have your traditions, to celebrate. And when you're there on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, you try to breathe that in as much as you can and thank God for whatever blessing you have at that moment. That is not a sin. Going into debt over Christmas, that's a sin. Amen? I give you one thing you can do. Write a letter to somebody, a note, 5 sentences, tell them what they mean to you. And I guarantee they will hold on to that Christmas present for years to come. Today, we want to get a little closer to Bethlehem. And the way we want to do that is by celebrating Mary. Amen? Was Mary celebrated in your house when you grew up? Boy, she was celebrated in my house. But getting close to Bethlehem, it required a few people to say yes. And one of those key people was Mary. Mary had to say yes. Joseph had to say yes. Elizabeth said yes. The innkeeper said yes. You know, some people said yes to a very mighty task. Mary had quite an assignment, I would say. And God staked the whole future on her saying yes. On a girl who was maybe 15, 16, 17, so afraid she wouldn't even run home to her own household. But she ran to Elizabeth's, knowing she would get some affirmation. It's profound what a little affirmation can do in your life. God stakes the whole future, the future of First Grace, on this yes. So I'm just wondering, what part of God's future has God staked on you? Have you figured that out? What you need to say yes to? And what part of God's future has God staked on this church, on people saying yes? So today, let's celebrate Mary saying yes and trust that that will get us a little closer to Bethlehem. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the courage to say yes to the things that we need to do to be your people and to celebrate the life that you give us. We give thanks for this scripture and the way it has been read to us, that we can hear Mary's voice, that small voice in the great big wide world, speaking out her own truth. Let us hear it and help us to know our own truth. Let the people say, amen. There is what I would call a common lexicon, or I might even daringly say an almost worldwide accepted image of Mary. And it usually doesn't include any of her words. It's the image that we see on every lawn, or at least every other lawn. It's in my lawn. Every other lawn in America, in Mexico, in Africa, in the Middle East, in Europe, in Russia, all these images of Mary. You may have learned one of the prayers to Mary when you were a child. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Yes, that's the Mary that I know. Or if you went to Catholic school, you may remember the May crowning. It is so precious and beautiful. All the children, all the girls dress in white, and all the boys wear little black bow ties. My son insisted on wearing a black bow tie for the first time Friday night at a wedding that took place here. It's so beautiful when you see children like that. They all fold their hands like this, and they march to the statue of Mary, who's in that very humbling position like this. And they fold their hands and they sing those familiar words we know about Mary. Mary, Mary, meek and mild, pure and undefiled. Oh, oh, Mary. That's the Mary that we know, the iconic Mary. Now, some people, not your pastor, but some other people would say that that is the patriarchal Mary. That's the Mary that men created to protect us from the Mary that Cheryl just read to us in her own words. Now, I have to tell you, if I went home to my mother after my first year of divinity school and said, Mom, you know those two statues of Mary you have on the porch? The picture of Mary you have in every room in the house? The little statuette of Mary you have on your dashboard? That's just the patriarchal Mary. My mother would take that cigarette out of her mouth and she would say, The what? The patronizing? Are you patronizing my Mary? Then she would pick up that matriarchal spoon and she would say, don't you mess with my Mary unless you want to mess with me. Then she'd pick up that cigarette and take a big drag and she'd blow it right in my face to indicate the end of the discussion. I just want to say, I have no issues with that Mary. That is a beautiful Mary. I just want to add to that Mary. Amen? That's what Luke does this morning. Let's say that Luke brings us the other side of Mary, which presumably he intended to get us a little closer to this light of Bethlehem. And this light, let's remember, came to Mary 9 months before it came to all of us. So where did Luke learn of this Mary? Where did he get these words from? In seminary, they might tell us, oh, you know, Luke probably just made them up, dragged them out of Miriam's hymn from the Old Testament. But maybe Luke learned them from Jesus, because these were the words that Jesus grew up hearing at the breakfast table, in the back of his mind as he studied the Torah, at night when his mother set him down for evening prayers. And maybe on those days when Jesus was with the disciples and there were some hard days, and we all know them, Jesus would say, you know what my mom would say on days like this? She would say, I am blessed. The mighty one, God my Savior, has done great things in my life, and holy is his name. And you know what I would say to my mom? I would say, Mom, what are you talking about? You're working two jobs. They just cut your food stamps another $38, and they won't raise the minimum wage. And my mom would pick up that cigarette, take it out of her mouth, and say, don't tell me what I already know. Let me tell you something you don't know. I am blessed. Can't you tell? I am blessed. My soul is magnified. And it is not magnified by the man. It is magnified by the mighty one. And that's why you are here, son. And that's why I'm living this life and I'm celebrating this life. Then she put that cigarette in her mouth, take a big drag and blow it right into Jesus' face. And Jesus would go on and he'd tell the disciples. Then my mom would say, people will know about me for generations. And my spirit rejoices right now. Don't you worry about the proud. God will scatter the proud. God will bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly. I am sure of that, and that's the light that I'm walking in. Then she'd take another big drag of that cigarette and blow a few circles up in the air. Jesus may have gotten his soul from his father, but from these words, we know where he learned his gospel. He learned it from his mother. When Mary found those words for the first time, when she was with Elizabeth. What we hear is she is finding her voice. Have you ever seen someone find their voice? You know it. With adolescents, it's usually kind of scattered. They come out of that fog of adolescence and they start whipping on everybody. They just start trashing everybody in the family, all their professors. Everything is wrong. All they're doing is finding their voice. What do I say? Give them some room. Give them some room. You are now in a sacred moment. We've seen it in more defined moments, like when Alice Walker found her voice in The Color Purple, and Betty Friedan found her voice in The Feminine Mystique, when Ayanna Van Zandt found hers in Peace from Broken Pieces. Do you know I have given that book to so many women that I feel like Van Zandt owes me some royalties from that book? If you need something that speaks a truth to you, pick up her book and read that book. It is a hot mess. There's all kinds of stuff going in that book, but you will see sentences in that book that are so hot. They will speak your truth, and you will give thanks twice. Once, that someone dared to write them on a page, and two, that you got to read them there. You've seen it in people like Toni Morrison when she wrote The Bluest Eye, and I heard the caged bird sing. I saw it in my mother when she said, in truth and in love, this marriage is over. And the TV got picked up, smashed on the floor, and you know what my mother did? She picked up that cigarette and took another drag and just sat there. You may have heard about it in the Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was around during Nazi Germany, and he was a devout pacifist. And he decided to participate in the plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler. He didn't win that fight. He was hanged about 15 days before the war ended, and we all remember him still. You may remember it in 1969. You may have heard about the Stonewall riots. The police used to go into gay establishments in New York City and just start arresting people. You know, it's hard to believe, but we've been close enough to that. Amen? And one day in 1969, people just had enough. And they rioted right there in the street. And that is where the gay rights movement is traced, to that moment. You may remember it when we've met our own Paul Longstreth. Remember Paul Longstreth? He'll be here next week playing the piano. Remember his story? He was on a full scholarship at Tulane, studying something with the word philosophy in it. He said, I could never understand it. He goes to a piano concert with Ellis Marsalis, walks out, finds a payphone, calls his mom, Colette, and says, Mom, I'm dropping out of school tomorrow and I'm becoming a jazz pianist. Now you can imagine what his mom said, but are we all thankful? We are thankful, amen, when people find their voice. It is powerful. It is powerful. If we are honest with ourselves, what we know about this life that we all live and participate in is the further you get away personally from the Marys of the world, the stranger and the more staged her words sound in Luke's gospel. I am blessed. How can that be? Stranger and more distant too becomes this light of Christmas. But I tell you, church, if you were in this sanctuary on Friday night, you will never be closer to Mary. Ilda, remember Ilda? Ilda, who gave the witness a couple weeks ago, Broad Bagot translated, Ilda, who's a member of the trustees here in our church, who established her own business that is so busy sometimes she can't take more business. Ilda, who has two children. Ilda, who leads protest against the modern-day principalities and powers. Ilda got married right here in this sanctuary. Now, it's hard to remember, but 5 years ago, Ilda had two children and the clothes on her back. and she knocked on the door at Hagar's house. And Angela and Carolyn and Nicole and First Grace made room for her. And about 6 months after her delirium cleared, she began to fight with everybody. Everybody. And we knew this woman is finding her voice. And she lives in a world, folks. This world has no place for Ilda. There is no place for her. But day after day, she makes a place for herself and her children. Day after day. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think her children will remember her voice when they are grown? I think so. As we begin to hear the angels sing and Christmas nears, Mary, Jesus' mom, and the mother of the church, she instructs us that it is important to God that we all find our voice in this great big wide world. That God stakes her kingdom on people hearing the call and finding their voice. The light of Christmas, it does not come to diminish your light. We all know we've been diminished enough in this world. The light comes to magnify who we can be. Say yes to that light, and you will be blessed. You are blessed, First Grace, and you got about 72 hours to let somebody else know that they're blessed too. Amen?
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. Give yourself some praise.